You can't handle the truth.
Wowza, week six of the True Review podcast. Welcome everybody to the show. My name is Jono Kiklis and I am obviously the host of the show. For those of you that are listening to this episode as your first episode, welcome to the show. And if you don't know what it's about, it's a podcast on anything to do with film, music and TV. So we take a look at any news of the week and we also do a few reviews on some of the things that we have checked out, which is always exciting. You can always check us out on Twitter. We've got our Twitter page, which you can check out at TrueReview_pod. Almost forget that every time. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. All you have to do is go to the iTunes store and search for the True Review podcast. It is the one and only, so you're not going to miss it. And you can also even email us, and the email address is truereviewpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you're on Facebook, join the Facebook fan page so you can get updates and find out what's going on for different episodes. And if you don't have any of that, then I don't know what you're doing with your life. You can also go on the Podomatic website, which is the website that hosts the show. Thank you. And you can download it there and spread it around on there as well. So we've got a massive show lined up for you guys today. We've got a bit of news on a possibility of a Blade Runner 2 or a Blade Runner prequel movie. So we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. We've also got a bit of news on the latest adaptation of the Wizard of Oz franchise. So that's a little bit exciting. We've also got another week of trailers to look at. We've got a few new trailers that are out, and they're actually some pretty good ones this week. We're going to do some reviews on the movies Limitless and the semi-animated movie Paul. We've got a bit of a preview for the upcoming Blink-182 album, which will be dropping in September sometime. And we're going to do some reviews on the new albums by Sydney band Boy and Bear and Los Angeles heavy metal band Black Tide. And we'll also do some of the good old reviews on some of the favourite TV shows, and we've got a bit of news there as well to get through to you guys this week. So it's a big show lined up for you. This is obviously the sixth episode, and thanks for joining us, and let's move on to the movie section. Alright, I'm starting to think the good part about this section of the show is the awesome surf music that I put on the background not long back. But anyway, let's move on. A bit of movie trivia for you guys this week. Obviously, in the movie Star Wars, the movie that the line that Luke Skywalker says, where he says, "I can't see a thing in this helmet," was not scripted. Mark Hamill said this thing to Harrison Ford when he thought the cameras had stopped rolling, but filmmakers decided to leave it in anyway. So there's a bit of trivia for you, for those that know Star Wars, and if you don't, obviously check it out. Alright, on to some news for the week. I said this at the top of the show, but here we go. Ridley Scott is ready to direct a new version of the seminal sci-fi film Blade Runner. After revisiting his classic Alien with the upcoming 3D Fox film Prometheus, Ridley Scott is committing to direct and produce a film that advances his other seminal and groundbreaking science fiction film. Scott has signed on to direct and produce a new installment of Blade Runner. He will film with Alcon Entertainment, producing with Alcon partners Broderick Johnson and Andrew Kosove. This would be the most high-profile project for Alcon since The Blind Side, which was obviously a very successful movie. What else we got here? Although the original Blade Runner movie was not a blockbuster when it was first released, as it only grossed $32 million in its original run, the film has garnered a lot of esteem and has become a cult classic over time. From the bleak but breathtaking visuals to the complex storyline and themes of morality, Blade Runner became a classic. There has been periodically been talks of doing a sequel, but those who never really went anywhere. It got a bit more motivation after the 25th anniversary DVD release and Blu-ray release of Blade Runner. Personally, I have seen the first Blade Runner movie, and it was confusing as fuck at times. And I wasn't too sure what was going on, and... Yeah, I mean, the visuals and the effects they used for when it was made, I think it was made in 80-something, 1985 or something. It was good then, but I don't know if they should redo it or do a sequel. Probably not the best thing to do in my mind. Just seems like Ridley Scott's just running out of ideas, so he's just going to make sequels for all his existing films. And, yeah, so I don't think that's a great idea. Some other news this week. For those of you that don't know, they're making another movie in the Wizard of Oz franchise. It's going to be called Oz the Great and Powerful, and it's going to be directed by Sam Raimi, who directed the Spider-Man movies, not the new one coming out, but the original three. And they've shown off some of the concept art and other stuff at a convention in America this weekend, the D23 Expo. I'm not sure exactly what that is, and I should probably know. But yeah, the film will also star James Franco, Mila Kunis, Michelle Williams, Zach Braff, and Rachel Wise, amongst many more. Has already started filming in Detroit, and D23 is a Disney Expo, actually. And yeah, some of the concept art has come out, so that's a little bit interesting there. So jump on the net and you should be able to find a little bit of information about that. I don't think that's coming out till either next year or even the year after, so that's interesting. Alright, we got some trailers for this week. Big one here, a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas, so the third installment in the Harold and Kumar comedy films. Now, what's going on in this one? 6 years after their Guantanamo Bay adventure, Stoner Buds Harold Lee and Kumar Patel cause a holiday fracas by inadvertently burning down Harold's father-in-law's prized Christmas tree. So, sounds pretty usual. Obviously, it stars Carl Penn, John Cho, and Neil Patrick Harris is back for a third one. He was killed off in the second one, so I'm not sure how they're going to bring him back, but that's good to see him back in there, because his character's quite funny. The release date on this one is the 4th of November 2011. That's the US release date, but I dare say the Australian one will be not far off that. Looks okay. I'm a bit skeptic on it, and I enjoyed the first one thoroughly, and the second one lost a bit of steam, so I've got to sort of make this one really good if they want to get everybody back into the franchise. Another trailer we checked out is a movie called Abduction, which stars Taylor Lautner in the leading role. Obviously, you know Taylor Lautner from the Twilight franchise. The movie is a thriller centered on a young man who sets out to uncover the truth about his life after finding his baby photo on a missing person's website. It also stars Alfred Molina, who played Dr. Octopus in the Spider-Man movie. And it comes out the 23rd of September, obviously this year. That's the US release date, but it'll probably be around that time in Australia as well. This one looks alright. It's Taylor Lautner's first sort of lead role in a movie, and it's a bit of an action movie, so we'll see how he goes away from sappy Twilight shit, and we'll see if he can do the job in a thriller slash action movie. Another movie we checked out this week is called 50-50, which stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Seth Rogen, and Anna Kendrick. It's a comedic account of a 27-year-old guy's cancer diagnosis and his subsequent struggle to beat the disease. So that'll be released the 30th of September. Don't actually have an Australian release date yet either, so a lot of these movies I can't really help you out with, but Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character is the one with the cancer in this one, and Seth Rogen plays, I think he's either brother or close mate. So it is actually a comedy film, so it'll be interesting to see. The trailer looks okay, looks like it's got a few good old Seth Rogen jokes in there, so we'll see where he goes from this one. Some other trailers I suggest you guys check out this week. A movie called 30 Minutes or Less, which stars Jesse Eisenberg and Aziz Ansari, who is from Parks and Recreation. And another one called Killer Elite, which stars Jason Statham, Clive Owen, and Robert De Niro. So it looks like a nice action movie there. And some movies out this week in the cinemas. The only movie I can see out this week is actually Horrible Bosses, which stars Jason Bateman and Charlie Day and Jason Sudeikis and Jennifer Aniston and a whole bunch of other guys. So that's out this Thursday. Anyway, let's move on to some reviews, some movie reviews for the week. I had a look at the movie Limitless, which stars Bradley Cooper, Abbie Cornish, and Robert De Niro. The movie is about Bradley Cooper's character, who's a struggling writer, and he manages to get his hands on a drug that makes you use 100% of your brain capacity. So you tend to be a lot smarter, you make better decisions with your life, etc., etc. It's good to see Bradley Cooper in a more serious role, as we generally see him playing in comedy movies or rom-coms or stuff like that, and he actually did pretty well in a serious role, so moving forward, we could probably see him in a similar kind of role. The movie uses really unique and really cool camera techniques to give a lot of visuals. It probably wouldn't be a movie that I would like to watch if I was drunk, just because some of the visuals on it just are really trippy. The movie is narrated by Bradley Cooper's character, which I enjoy. I don't know about a lot of people, but it always adds another element to a movie if it's being narrated the whole time. And the movie starts off where it's going to end, so if you know what I mean. At the start of the movie is actually the ending of the movie, but not giving away the obvious points and the real end. Throughout the movie, it shows you how they get to that point, which that's always a winner with me, and I always enjoy those type of things because, you know, you connect the dots and you're like, oh yeah, that's cool. Only thing I didn't like was the ending was a bit silly, and it left you a little bit thinking, and you're like, oh, maybe they're going to make a second one, but how can you make a second one of this, etc. And maybe it just went a little bit too long, but I have that problem with a few movies. So I gave it a rating of 8 out of 10, and I didn't know whether I was going to enjoy it, and I heard people said it was pretty good, and I did actually enjoy it, so good on them. Another movie I checked out this week is called Paul, which is the semi-animated flick, which stars Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, who are obviously from Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and stuff like that. The movie is about an alien that was captured when it landed on Earth about 60 years ago, captured for Area 51, and he escapes to try and get home. The movie is written by Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, so you expect quite a few laughs throughout it, but I didn't think it was as funny as it would be or could have been. You got the occasional one-liners from the boys, but it was nothing like the comedy that you saw in both their other two films, which was kind of disappointing in my opinion. Seth Rogen voiced the alien, which was I think it was a good fit because the alien was pretty crass, and Seth Rogen is spot on with that type of character. Kristen Wiig was also in this movie, and she was almost funnier than most of the other characters. She had good one-liners, and just the way she uses her facial expressions and body movements, just it's always gets a laugh. This was the first American sort of based film for Pegan Frost that I can remember, so I'm not sure whether they knew how to write or market the film properly or something like that, but yeah, it just wasn't as much of a hit as their British films. Another good positive out of it, though, was it had some good plot twists in it, and always left you wondering about different characters. It also starred, Jason Bateman in it as well, and had Bill Hader from SNL, and Jane Lynch from Glee, and stuff like that. I wasn't too fond of this one, so I only gave it a 6.5 out of 10, which has been my lowest rating for the show so far. So that's not good, man. We'll see how we go. On to some DVDs out this week, DVD movies. Fast and Furious 5 is out August 24th, which obviously stars Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, The Rock. What else we got here? The movie Arthur, which starred dickhead Russell Brand, that's out August 24th. And another movie called United, which is a bit of an indie flick, is out August 24th as well. So that's all the movie stuff we got for this week. It was actually quite a bit. And let's move on to music. Alrighty, on to the music portion of the show, and a bit of music trivia here. The first video to be shown on the new cable channel MTV in 1981, which was on the 1st of August, was Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles. So that was the first music video to be shown on MTV. A little bit of trivia there for you. So tell everybody at parties about that. Alright, on to some news for the week. Bit of nasty news here, actually. Liam Gallagher, who was the lead singer for Oasis, is suing his brother over Oasis's breakup. So Liam Gallagher is suing his brother and former Oasis bandmate, Noel, for disparaging comments made during the band's messy breakup of 2009. Here's a quote from Liam. "I have taken legal action against Noel Gallagher for statements he made during the Electric Cinema press conference on July 6, during which he claimed Oasis pulled out of the 2009 V Festival gig because I had a hangover. That is a lie, and I want Oasis fans and others who are at V to know the truth." So that's interesting there. Liam insists the lawsuit is not about money, but rather about getting an apology from his brother. "I am used to be calling all sorts of things by Noel, and I have in the past said things about him. But what Noel has alleged this time went way beyond rock and roll banter and questioned my professionalism." So it's very interesting. The story is up on rollingstone.com. And yeah. So there's always problems with the Gallagher brothers, and which is sad because Oasis was such a great band, and just went to shit in the end, really. And yeah, alright, some other music news for this week. Now, this isn't as exciting as you probably would have liked, but YouTube has signed a major music licensing deal. So YouTube has ended a 4-year legal battle with over 3,000 independent music publishers by agreeing to pay licensing fees to the National Music Publishers Association. It'll cover synchronization rights on behalf of songwriters and will extend to cover versions of their songs. That's interesting. Songwriters will get a cut of advertising revenue tied to videos featuring their music, but as of yet, the terms of the royalty payments have not been disclosed. So that's a bit of a win-win there for songwriters, especially if they thought their songs were getting a bit manipulated or overplayed and they weren't getting the correct royalties for it. A bit of an update on the story I said last week about the Kings of Leon. Not really an update, but another story to do with the Kings of Leon. They've recently had to cancel, obviously, their entire tour due to Caleb Followill, the lead singer's going to rehab and to recover from exhaustion. Yeah, bullshit. And now the 90s pop band Hanson is talking shit about them. Isaac Hanson, the older brother and of the group, which are obviously best known for the song Mbop. And the boys have lots of babies, which it says here in the interview, which is completely irrelevant. Here's a quote from them. "I have a hard time with musicians who act like pricks. The Kings of Leon guys are running some risks. They are irritating people. You can't do that too much. Eventually, the bad boy image affects fans' willingness to show up. Their fans will get bummed out." So, it's a bit of a worry when you're a band and you're copying it from Hanson, who hasn't really had a hit in about 15 years. So, Kings of Leon in a bit of trouble at the moment, but I'm sure they'll bounce back. Alright, on to our album preview for the week. This one's a bit of an exciting one. It's the old school, punk? I can't even think of it right now. Blink-182. I have a new album dropping on the 27th of September, and it's called Neighborhoods. It's the sixth studio album, there you go, by a pop punk band, Blink-182, through their long-standing record company, Geffen Records. It's the first material the boys have written in 8 years, and it was sort of after their 2009 reunion. They decided they wanted to make another album. It'll be the first Blink-182 album produced by the band members solely, without the help of an outside record producer. Reason behind this is there was a death of their longtime producer Jerry Finn in 2008, who the boys thought was pretty much a part of the band because he was part advisor. He was an impartial observer. He helped smooth their tensions and hone their sound. So that's a bit sad, but at the same time, the guys are getting a bit of experience producing their own record by themselves. And the album sessions for the record will be partially documented in a documentary called the Blinkumentary. So yeah, that's interesting. Maybe that'll be part of the album, or that'll come out separately. Although the album has suffered several delays, as several demos were recorded in 2009, the album really started coming to play in June 2010 when they started recording most of it. And then in April 2011, the band cancelled a European tour as the album was taking longer than expected to record. So Geffen Records gave the band a deadline, and they matched it easily. The record's first single is called Up All Night, which has been all over the radio, and you can check it out on the net, and it sounds very Blink-182, which is good. The album will have 10 original tracks on it, plus 3 bonus tracks for most editions. So looking forward to that one. I'm a big Blink-182 fan and have been for quite a long time, and I was a bit sad when I heard that they broke up, but good to see them back together and good to see them writing a new album. And yeah, so that's the album preview of the week. On to the album reviews of the week. Alright, the first one we're going to look at is by Sydney band Boy and Bear, with it's actually their debut album called Moonfire. Now, my good friend Hutchie on Twitter this week mentioned that Boy and Bear have the most pedophiliac name possibly in the music industry, which, makes a lot of sense. So good on you there, Hutchie. Anyway, back to the review of the album. They're an indie rock band, Boy and Bear, obviously, and I said they were from Sydney. They sound like a bit of a mixture between Mumford and Sons and Powderfinger, if you can picture that. They've got very folk-style songs with a bit of a rock blend in them, and the album sort of reflected that. The problems I had with the album were that I felt like I'd heard it before. Like, I could literally play a Mumford & Sons album and then play these guys straight after and think they're exactly the same band. But there's actually a few bands out there like that that sound the same. But the good thing about it, it's a good album to kick back to and relax to. And yeah, that's the best sort of review I can give it to you. The best songs on the album are the single Feeding Line and another song called Part-Time Believer. So I actually gave it a 6.5 out of 10 just because I didn't think it was anything special. But if you're a fan of the band and you've known them for a while, you'll probably love it. The second review we're doing here is for a band called Black Tide. And they've just released their second album called Post Mortem. They're a heavy metal group out of California. They've had a change of guitarist since their first album dropped back in 2008, I think it was. It was a lot different to their first album. This one felt very commercialized and didn't really have the same sort of heavy metal feel that the first one did. So it was a lot more radio friendly, I guess you could say. But surprisingly, that was still enjoyable for me, and it had a lot of catchy anthems in it, and there were a lot of parts in the songs which still give out that that metal vibe with nice thrash guitar noises and effects, and even the melodies singing in the choruses sound like what a metal band would sing. So it's quite interesting. But at the same time, it could be a letdown for anybody who was a big fan of their first album. And yeah, the best songs on the album, I thought, were the songs Ashes and That Fire. I definitely still think you should check it out because it's still a really solid album. I gave it a rating of 7 out of 10. Alrighty, other music out this week. Big one here, which I reviewed a few weeks ago, is Red Hot Chili Peppers album is dropping this week. I'm With You. And we're actually going to do a review on this next week, which should be good. New album out by Game, or formerly known as The Game, called the Red Album, is out this week, August 23rd, so yesterday. And a new album by Lil Wayne will be coming out later this week, called The Carter 4. Lil Wayne did serve a jail sentence for, I don't know, I think it was a year or something. So he's got a new album coming out there. So yeah, there's some other albums out this week and a few reviews and stuff. Let me know what you think of any new albums or whatever, and hopefully we can get a review going up on them. But let's move on to the TV show section of the show. Alright, done a bit of an upgrade to the TV show portion, and we're going to add trivia in here as well, yeah! So it's going to be like a little bloody trivia show soon. Anyway, in the TV show Friends, the Magna Doodle that is on the door of Joey and Chandler's apartment has a different picture on it every episode, and there is usually some tedious connection between the picture and the plot of the episode. So that's interesting, and I've never noticed it, and I've seen every episode. So maybe if you end up checking it out again, you should try and spot that one out. Alright, a bit of news for this week. Comedian Sarah Silverman is set to return to TV. This time she will get a show at NBC. The comedian has sold a sitcom project to the network that's loosely based on her own life. The as-yet-untitled series is about a newly single woman who just got out of a decade-long relationship, i.e. she was with comedian Jimmy Kimmel for almost 10 years. NBC has made a pilot commitment. And it says also here, NBC is on the hunt for a new female-driven Seinfeld-like comedy, enlisting comedians Whitney Cummings and Chelsea Handler for projects, and now Silverman. So, looks like they're trying to get on board with women in comedy, which is interesting. I haven't really seen that before. But most of those ladies are pretty funny. I don't know about Whitney Cummings, but Chelsea Handler and Sarah Silverman are definitely pretty funny there. Other news this week, and it's some NBC news as well. Singer Josh Groban has landed a part on the new season of The Office. He will be locked down to play the brother of Ed Helms' character, Andy Bernard. And according to Deadline.com, they say this is the latest member of the Bernard clan to be cast as the network, just in case Stephen... They've also cast Stephen Collins and Dee Wallace as Andy's parents. So maybe Andy's getting a bit of a shining in the new season of The Office, seeing that Steve Carell is gone from the show. Obviously, it's a good fit, seeing Josh Groban is a singer and Ed Helms loves to belt out a tune or two on the show. And he's always talked about that he was in a cappella group back in college, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. Some quick reviews on some of the shows that are on this week. Breaking Bad was on again. That's another tension-filled episode. Most of the episode revolved around Walter trying to get the attention of Gus because Jesse is slowly moving out of the drug factory, and at the same time, Walter and Skyler have bought the car wash, but they're not sure if it was the right thing to do, and Skyler's starting to get worried that Walter may be in some sort of danger, and Walter is kind of lying to her. So, as I've said from week to week, it doesn't seem like much happens in these episodes, but they're most tension-filled bloody TV episodes you'll see in a drama. And, yeah, so that'll build up. That was episode 6, so I think there's only... Oh, no, there's 13 episodes of the season, but yeah, ignore me. Another episode of Entourage was on this week, and revolved mainly around Vinny giving an interview for Vanity Fair magazine, and Johnny Drama trying to get his show back on track and deciding he's going to walk from the show, because it sucks without his partner in crime, Andrew Dice Clay, and he's just in all sorts of strife because he's slept with Sloane's ex-stepmother. Well, yeah, which is kind of funny. Also, there's double episodes of Wilfred this past week. Not going to spoil them because some people probably haven't seen them yet. But they're good episodes yet again. Some other shows that we've checked out this week. Now, I said some shows last week which we checked out, which were Louie and Franklin and Bash. And these ones I've checked out this week are a little bit more serious. And both shows are actually going to be entering their second and third season. So the first one is a show called Boardwalk Empire, which is a HBO show. Set in the 20s. It's like a gangster type show. It's hard to sort of explain. It stars Steve Buscemi in a very serious role, which is interesting, and that's definitely one to check out. And they've got plenty of Emmy nods coming up soon, so it's obviously a very popular and good show. Another show I checked out is called Justified, which stars Timothy Olyphant, and he is he's like a ranger. I don't know how to sort of explain it, but yeah, no, that's another good show there, and I suggest you guys check it out. And yeah, I'm always happy to hear shows that you guys have seen that I maybe haven't talked about on the show, vice versa. I'm happy for you guys to go check them out and let me know what you think on them. Some TV on DVD this week. The very popular show Sons of Anarchy Season 1 is out on DVD tomorrow, as well as House Season 7. And I'm not sure whether you should bother buying the last one, seeing it only lasted a season or so. The Event Season 1 is out on DVD. I'm going to be jumping on Twitter and Facebook this week to ask you guys, what are your favourite shows that didn't last probably past the first or second season? So, some really good shows that just didn't hit the mark, like one of the ones that I liked, a show called Life, that was a good one, that only lasted two seasons. That's the only one I can think of on the top of my head. But I'll ask you guys during the week, and I'll try and get some input from you there. Another one, Arrested Development, only three seasons. Probably one of the best comedy shows to be on TV in the past decade. So, that is some stuff there. Also, reminder on your TV screens this weekend is the MTV Video Music Awards, which are always generally entertaining, so they've snuck up on us a bit this year, but that's on, I think, this Sunday, obviously on MTV or wherever you watch it from, and yeah. So that's the TV stuff for this week, and next week's show, we're going to take a look at some trailers, i.e. we're going to look at the new Underworld Awakening trailer, which Kate Beckinsale is back into the series. We'll also have a look at the movie Puncture, which stars Chris Evans. And we'll have a look at the comedy movie Father of Invention, which stars Kevin Spacey. Some really great reviews we're going to be doing next week, hopefully. Captain America, The First Avenger. We'll check that one out, and we'll do a review of Fast and Furious 5. So there's two very high-grossing movies, and we're going to do some reviews on those. We'll take a look at Coldplay's upcoming album titled Milo Ex Loto. Don't know where they got the title for that album from, but that should be interesting. We'll review the Red Hot Chili Peppers album, as I said earlier. We'll do our usual TV news and reviews. Also, we're going to have a semi-second episode up this week because we'll be doing our, which will be annual UFC pay-per-view preview for UFC 134, which is on this Sunday. So check that out if you're a big UFC fan, and it'll be all over the Facebook, Twitter page, everything you need to know. I'll do another plug here for the Twitter page, which is at TrueReview_pod. You can like the Facebook fan page, just search for the True Review podcast up in your little search bar up the top. You can also jump on iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. Just search in the iTunes store for the True Review podcast. And if you have none of those things and all you have is an email account, you can email us at truereviewpodcast@gmail.com. And before I forget, I also did an appearance on my mate Ricky's podcast this week, which is the Rick James Sportscast, and he's reached his 50th episode, so congrats to him and his mate James on 50 episodes, and catch me on there for my UFC 134 little tidbit. But yeah, so that's that, and I'll see you on the UFC 134 preview. So we'll leave you with another little clip of the week, and I hope you guys have a good week, and I'll talk to you during the UFC 134 preview if you don't listen to that. Catch you next week for next week's show. All right, catch.
Gentlemen, my name is Dr. Evil. It isn't a while you'll notice that the Kreplakistani warhead has gone missing. If you want it back, you're going to have to pay me. $1 million. Sorry. $100 billion.